And welcome back. Some worry that last year's Ferguson turmoil frightened people and businesses from relocating here, but the unrest is a large part of what actually drew the new executive director of the Regional Arts Commission back to St. Louis. Felicia Shaw replaces Jill McGuire, who founded the organization 30 years ago and announced her retirement last year. Shaw grew up in North City. After graduating from Beaumont High School and later Northwestern University, she headed for San Diego, where she raised a family and launched her career in arts administration. For 7 years, Shaw directed the arts program at a nonprofit organization for charitable giving. Recently, she talked with St. Louis Public Radio's Nancy Fowler about what led her to leave the West Coast and what her return might mean for the arts in St. Louis.
I was working for the San Diego Foundation, and we had a new CEO who came on when the previous CEO left after 20 years, and she was obviously going to take the organization in a new direction. So I was thinking about what new direction I wanted to go in. And then Ferguson happened, and I watched just like everybody else across the country, pretty mesmerized by what was going on. And my emotions were probably a little bit more intense than others because this was my home. And I had so many emotions. You know, first, I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed by the looting going on and the disregard for laws. And then as I began to, you know, look at the news media and hear what people were saying, the people who were protesting, I began to become very sad because I could hear the frustration in their voices, the desperation that they really wanted things to change. And then I immediately became angry. I was angry because some of the things that I was seeing and some of the things that I heard were the same reasons that I left St. Louis years ago. The not being progressive, the segregation, the lack of regard for rights. And then after I was sad and embarrassed and angry, I felt guilt, a tremendous amount of guilt, because no matter what, I left. I left, you know, to move to California and, you know, do other things without regard for the fact that St. Louis had given me so much. You know, it really made me into the person that I was. Everything that I had experienced growing up, going to the Muni and, you know, the arts were very available in the schools. It was everything. And I had given so little. And so I thought, well, maybe this is a sign that I need to return.
So it sounds like you wanted to make some sort of a difference.
Some sort of a difference? I would say probably more than that. I mean, really, I mean, San Diego is a great place, and you don't just uproot from a place where you've been, you know, most of your adult life to come to a place where obviously it has a lot of problems. But I felt that I was positioned to make a difference. I've been in the local arts field for all my life, 25 years, along with philanthropy. And I had a sense that this was a community that would be open to change now, particularly open to change. And maybe I had the background and also the emotional connection to the community to make a difference.
So you spent your first several months here kind of doing quietly, talking
sure.
with people. Can you tell me about that process?
One of the things we did, we're doing right now at RAC, is holding a series of dialogues. As a matter of fact, we call it open dialogues. With our grantees. So that would be everyone from the symphony to Matco to the circus. And we're doing it in a way that we're asking the grantees to come together in a long table format. And we're talking about some of the trends and issues that are affecting not just St. Louis, but across the country. Obviously, the civil unrest that's sweeping the country that kind of started here is on everyone's minds. During some of those open dialogue sessions, without exception, someone would bring up the Michael Brown incident and saying, this happened here in St. Louis, you know, but it didn't just happen in that community. It didn't just happen around the issue of, you know, police enforcement or anything like that. It happened to all of us. And the arts need to respond. The challenge is organizations trying to figure out what that means. Do you become not just an arts organization, but do you also become a social change agent? You know, how do you learn the language? You know, how do you go into that space when for years, you know, your job has been, you know, to put the best art on stage? Now you have to figure out, how am I going to use this as a tool for social change?
Yeah, you brought up several good questions.
There are lots more.
Lots of questions. I just wondered if you're even beginning to think about how, you know, the Regional Arts Commission might help arts organizations wanting to have a more social justice focus.
I think a lot of organizations right now are equally divided on that issue. Many say they're adamant that art for art's sake is important, that we don't need to be in that lane because art in and of itself is a social change agent. The fact that when you go into a space and you witness creativity, you're being changed. Okay, we could say that. I'm proposing that, yes, you are always being changed. I know my life was transformed by the arts. But we have a higher purpose and a bigger job to do, particularly now as we look out over our small universe of St. Louis and then the larger universe, you know, the rest of the country and the world. When you see people's lives transformed by the arts, it's tough for a kid to, you know, say, pick up a gun and hurt somebody when they have a violin in their hands. They can't do both at the same time. So you want to feel that there's a way that we can bring the arts and sit at those tables. You know, I believe that the arts should be sitting at every table where we're talking about change. You know, if we're talking about educational reform, the arts should be at that table. If we're talking about, you know, how do we make our streets safer and more vibrant, the arts should be there. Talking about health and how, you know, the arts make us feel. You know, we have evidence that the arts can take people who have experienced tremendous trauma to a better place. So we have a seat at that table. But again, how do we find the space when our business model for so many years has been about this transaction of, I'm going to sell you a ticket and you're going to come here and you're going to see the best on stage and you're going to enjoy it and then you're going to go home and hopefully you'll come back again and again and again. Now we're trying to fill in the blanks and say, what else? What else should we be doing? And then, of course, how do we pay for that? Where do we find the money?
Well, so in 2012, the National Committee for Responsive Philanthropy found that on a national level that much more money was going from arts funders to sort of Eurocentric, more, you know, sort of white background organizations and efforts.
Very familiar with that report.
Mm-hmm. You know, that St. Louis, there were some similarities in that.
There's a lot of similarities.
Yeah. Can you just talk about that and how that might be addressed?
Sure. So the report you're talking about talks about how foundations have been fairly responsible for the ways that funding has been invested and the preference to highly fund and invest in the more Eurocentric art forms, whether symphony, opera, ballet, has meant that the priority of funding has gone to those groups as opposed to other groups who probably are making a similar impact, but they are culturally specific, ethnically specific. So there is a lack of equity. And the foundation community, philanthropy community, is aware of the inequities that it has created and want to balance it, to make it more proportional. It's a wonderful proposition, easier said than done, because immediately you start thinking of a redistribution of wealth, or you're talking about taking from someone and giving to someone else. And that causes, you know, a lot of anxiety, particularly from those who feel that they are losing and at no fault of their own. We started it, you know, the foundation community started it by presenting this value proposition of what is more important to the community. But we have to get to it. Whether it's difficult or not, it's a difficult conversation. And what I've been asking the arts and cultural community, the grantees themselves, is if we can recognize, if we can all agree that as far as public funding is concerned, now, I don't know about an individual person's money or, you know, Andy Warhol's money or Doris Duke's money, but as far as public money is concerned, it's for everyone. And it's RAC's job to be as equitable and fair in the distribution of that funding as possible so that a majority of the people get to enjoy the majority of the funds. So we have to hold hands together. This can't be about us coming in and mandating and taking something from someone else. So we have to be strategic and say, what can we do together? Because we have to all recognize the inequity that exists. How can we balance this so that these small community-based organizations that have not enjoyed years and years and years of investment can now begin to get a foothold? I think that's our biggest challenge, is to recognize those small budget organizations that have promise, that have momentum, that are serving populations that are underserved, and saying, we're going to build your capacity. We're going to invest in you heavily over the next several years so that you can begin to move up and get stronger. Because actually, you're really, really good at doing what you do in your community. This is not outreach for you. This is where you live, and we want you to stay there, and we want you to be able to deliver the best to the people that you serve.
So how might the events of Ferguson sort of impact this, you know, possible shift toward more support for minority-focused groups, arts groups?
Well, you know, I try to look at Ferguson as, obviously, it was a turning point for St. Louis, as it has been for the rest of the country that looked on. What it said to me is that a couple of things. Communities are organic, and they need to define for themselves what they want. And we need to engage them more in talking about what's relevant to them. What works downtown or Tower Grove, and I'm just learning the neighborhoods, may not work in Ferguson or Florissant or someplace else. And so this idea of civic engagement, that people begin to have a dialogue about what's important to them, needs to happen. That, to me, is one of the great outcomes of Ferguson. It's about listening and engaging people in dialogue about what's important. And then being able to say, okay, I heard you. What resources do we have that are available? And they may not always be grants, but what resources do we have that we can start filling those gaps? And it has to be all of our concern. I don't feel that this is a time where any of the arts organizations particularly can turn their backs and say, you know, I have what I need, or I'm going to stay the course, I'm going to stay over here. We all must turn inward and say, you know, we're only as strong as our weakest link.
So was there a moment that you thought to yourself, yes, I've made the right decision coming here?
Oh, I make it every day. I make it every day. I moved back in with my mother. I was standing by my 84-year-old mother who lives in the north side. And in the same house I grew up in, same bedroom, same white provincial furniture, and everything's the same. And I wake up and I say, I can't believe I've come full circle. I'm back home again. But when I drive around St. Louis and I see the architecture, how it's been preserved, when I witness the art activities that I did as a kid, that they're still here, the Muni is still here, and the people really inspire me. It's still St. Louis. Now, don't get me wrong, it's still St. Louis. But I am just blown away by what this community has to offer, and just kind of puzzled by why more people don't appreciate it, why it isn't the destination that other cities are in terms of the arts. And, you know, it should be regarded the same way as Seattle is, when I think about that size city, or Philadelphia, that St. Louis doesn't sell itself very well. And now we have this new narrative, you know, the Michael Brown narrative, the Ferguson narrative, that, you know, I don't know how long it'll take for us to put that in a different place. But I think all the time that I am so lucky to have had this stars coming together in alignment to get me back here. I never thought it would happen, but I'm in the right place.